You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of What Most People Think, and we are welcoming back a very welcome return to the podcast. It's Constantine Kissing. Good to have you back, mate.
Hello, mate. Good to see you again.
Yeah, so just quickly before we get into the politics stuff, did the budget fuck you personally? Did you take one from Rachel?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, mate. So obviously, I am the enemy now. I have become the enemy. See, because when we used to do stand-up, I cared about ideologically, but I was never making enough money to actually care. Now I've become the evil 1% of whatever we are. I'm evil. I like being evil, though. It's great. Being evil is great, man.
Well, it's more clear cut, isn't it? I've often said that, like, when I do my tour shows, is that the worst thing about being a left-wing comic is they have to sort of explain themselves quite a lot. Whereas if the starting position is that you're a selfish prick, there's not much more. All you can really do is outperform that assessment in a way.
Well, that's true. But also, I think I've become more right-wing than you in this economic respect.
Everyone has.
Yeah, that's true as well. But you know, it's like, I don't think I'm selfish. I'm not remotely selfish. I pay a lot of tax that pays for a lot of people. I'm happy to do it. I love living in a country like this where there's good public service. Well, it used to be good public. There's a theory of good public. You know what I mean? I'm trying to say if we keep paying tax, there may theoretically at some point be decent public services, right? You know, I'm happily subsidizing that. But it's like the top 10% of people in this country pay like the vast majority of all the tax. So I'm actually satirizing the idea of being, I think I'm not evil. I'm the opposite. I'm good is what I'm trying to say.
You are Robin Hood. I did think with this budget, in a way, it was kind of confusing as to who was Robin Hood and who was the Sheriff of Nottingham. I think the government think that they're Robin Hood. And I think that a lot of people think that they're the Sheriff of Nottingham, which might be where some of the problems come from. I mean, one of the big subjects we're going to talk about is one of those weeks where it makes sense to timestamp where we are. It's Monday, the 1st of December at 2 o'clock. And obviously there is this swirling controversy about this budget and about the information that Rachel Reeves circulated and about how selective, manipulative, deceitful, lying, whatever, which one of those you want to pick, it was the way that they put information out there, given that they didn't mention the updated reports from the OBR. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about, do a little bit on your party, who had their conference recently and provided a lot of great content for everybody. And they renamed yourself. So stay tuned to find out what your party renamed themselves to. And then in the Patreon only, we're going to have another one of these stories where the UK police have covered themselves in glory, where they've arrested a man for a photo of him doing something legal in the country that he was doing it, but is not legal in Britain. So they arrested him for that. So do stay tuned for that. Okay, first up, stay tuned is a very boomer reference. I mean, we're now in the... Even radios don't need you to stay tuned now, but I'm still using that phrase. And we've been doing a thing called piss take prices, Constantine. So these are these prices that just take your breath away in this kind of a sort of, well, food inflation seems to be one of the principal causes. I had somebody send one in. Remember, you can email whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com. You can contact me through the patrons, or you can just use the hashtag piss take prices on social media. Here's one for you, Constantine. A street food market where, first up, why does just putting street food in front of everything suddenly make it more saleable? It's just absolute. But you know, when you have a street food restaurant, you go, well, it's automatically not street food. There was one, it was fully loaded fries with a bit of sausage in, 15 quid
fucking hell,
from a street food market. Loaded fries, crispy chips, fully loaded, served in a box with wild boar sausage. Oh, well, if it's wild boar, then of course I'm going to pay 15 quid.
That's not too bad. Mate, you know what gets me is airport, not even parking. You have to pay like a tenner to drop someone off at the airport nowadays. You literally drive in, they get out, you drive away. It's like 6, 7, 8 quid, depending on where you are. It's unbelievable.
Well, maybe they should charge you if you're dropping off somebody that you want to get rid of, because they know that there's actually some pleasure involved. So if you've had the in-laws over for 2 weeks, then you should be charged for that.
Yeah, Jeff, you know what? My son is 3.5 years old, and I've had it with the mother-in-law jokes. I think they're totally wrong and inappropriate, because once you become a father or a parent, I should say, and you've got the little ones running about, you know, ruining your life. They make your life amazing, but they also ruin it, right? I have never in my life imagined that I would utter the phrase, the in-laws are coming to stay for a month, thank God. But that is what's happened to me. When you've got young children, I think everyone kind of goes through that. So I refuse to participate in in-law jokes for the moment. I'm sure I'll go back to it soon enough.
See, that is the first time for a while that I think you've probably pulled me up for not being woke enough. You've got all woke on mother-in-laws. I should say, for the record, I have a great mother-in-law, and, you know, let's not cause any problems there. It was a generic reference, the idea of in-law. Well, I would say this as well, though. Anybody coming to stay at your house for more than a few days is a fucking nightmare, unless they're offering childcare services.
Perhaps. I just look at them as free childcare, and so it's brilliant.
New patrons, as you remember, we give the podcast early ad-free and with bonus content to people who are patrons, plus a bunch of other advantages and benefits. And we also roast their names. We've got a few this week, if you join in with me roasting. Stephen Bradnam, who just sounds like one of those faceless guys on the BBC sort of exec committee. Stephen Bradnam gave a vote of confidence to...
Resigned this week.
Or gave a vote of confidence to himself. We've got Alexandra Wickley, Alexandra Wickley.
Mate, your patrons have got a lot posher since the last time I was on.
Well, my patrons are probably paying the tax of most of the area that they live in. Let's put it like that. Alexandra Wickley sounds like a caustic columnist for The Telegraph.
That's right.
You know one of those columnists that will get in trouble for saying something misogynistic about a female royal family member? Alexandra Wickley was trending today after commenting on cellulite on Kate's legs. So Alexandra Wickley, you're very welcome. Debbie John. Is that a couple called Debbie and John? Or is that, it's very rare to have the word John as a, is that rare to have the word John as a surname?
I think so, yeah.
John, well, I suppose it's like comedian Dave Johns. It's just a bit weird having a male name as a surname. It's like her name being called Debbie Steve. Stevenson, though, I guess, but Debbie John.
It's amazing how much difference one letter makes, isn't it? John's is okay. John is kind of weird.
Yeah, do you know what that probably was just back in the day? You know when they used to do the birth certificate while the dad was still drunk? I wonder how many names ended up different just because the dad was pissed. And we've also got Johnny without an H. When we have a one-namer, we presume that they work in an establishment that's too woke to be associated with a right-wing firebrand like me. Although, having said that, I've obviously got a lot of shit recently for saying you're not that radical anymore. But I've always been quite radical on money and tax. So I've been like going at the government and going at Rachel Reeves online, and they're like, this is the old Jeff. I'm like, no, this is how Jeff always was. It's just that they took some of my money. It's just they
so you're pro open borders. You want as many asylum seekers as possible. You just don't want to pay for them.
I wouldn't put it that strongly. Oh, I should have said as well. Sorry, at the top of the show, we're going to be talking about your video. Where was the place where this?
Crowborough. There's a new. It's around the corner, mate. The whole illegal immigration thing has got serious, in that they're putting them next to me now, and that's when I've got even more involved in the whole thing. I'll
so
tell
this
you
is where you get
it.
Political when you get taxed yeah. more, and when there 600 undocumented migrants going to be put in an army barracks near where you live. So you've done a very good video on that, which we're going to discuss as well later in the show. Oh, I was going to. Sorry, we didn't do Johnny there. So if Johnny works at a particularly woke place, I'd say maybe he works at a company that are actually called Lefty Lawyers. Like they're literally called, there should be a company called that, Lefty Lawyers for You. No win, no fee, apart from to the taxpayer.
Why would you need one of them when there's loads just do that same thing without the name?
They should be one of those cheap ones that advertise during the daytime. Where there's blame, there's claim. And even if there's not, we'll get you some cash. David Domain, he looks at previous week's episodes and adds a bit of information and detail. And we were talking about a lot in the piss take prices section. A lot of people have mentioned Turkish restaurants are incredibly expensive. Anything in a Turkish, not restaurant, rather, airport. And there are actually reasons. He said there are reasons Turkish airports are so expensive. One is a lack of competition. Two is private companies contracted by the state are running the airport, so it's lucrative for these airports to jack up the prices. And three is rampant inflation in Turkey generally. Is that a sort of holiday destination for the kissings?
No, I've never been to Turkey, mate.
Well, don't go, because apparently if you get...
Airports are extortionate, apparently. I'd love to go to Istanbul. I mean, that from what I've heard, it's an amazing city. I'd love to do that. But we'll find out how expensive they are. You know what? We went to Greece, actually. When I say we, me and Francis, we're like a married couple at this point. Yes. We went to Greece over the summer for a holiday. And it turns out I'd been there once as a kid before. The food is kind of shit.
Greece?
Yeah.
Here's another one. Paris. I've so hard to find a good meal in Paris. It's like there's obviously places that are good, but the idea that Parisian cuisine is universally good is absolute bollocks. Yeah, well, if you do go to Turkey, I mean, one of the stingers about it is the fact that you get stung at the end of your holiday, right? You've already spent more money than you expected. Then suddenly you find out it's 80 quid to get a Big Mac meal for a family of four. So take a packed lunch in, because you know how easy going airports are about taking stuff through security. Also, we were talking about what makes human beings catch colds and get ill. And we were talking about the dew point. Now, I'll just be clear, the dew point. Because as we said last week, we can't blame Jews for illness, along with all the other stuff that people blame them for. The dew point range for humans is 5 to 15 degrees Celsius. So above 15 degrees, the air becomes clammier, thus encouraging illness. And below 5%, there are other risks there. So I guess if they're saying that the best kind of weather to not get ill is between 5 and 15 degrees Celsius, it sounds like Britain. That is kind of our sweet spot, isn't it?
I'm denying the science behind this. I think I literally never get ill when it's warm, and I always get ill when it's cold. So I think this is bollocks, mate, at least for me.
This is bollocks.
So I know that's not very scientific, but
this is how right wing you've gone, is that you're trashing the science. You're trashing the experts.
See, I've got to trust the science.
What happened to you, man? You're so radical. What most people think. Okay, a thank you and a fuck you. I'm just going to say thank you to the people that came to the tour shows last week in Crawley and London. And that is it for the autumn leg of the tour. And it's just been the best experience I've had doing live comedy. There are loads of dates in 2026 on Live Nation. There are new dates in Norwich, two dates now in Norwich, second date in Newcastle, a fourth date in London, and we're adding a second date in Brighton as well as dates in, let me give a push to some of the bigger rooms here, Lincoln, Loughborough, Ipswich, Wellington, Edinburgh, Leamington Spa, Carlisle, Crewe, Belfast, Solihull, Derby, Coventry, Winchester, and 30 more. So do, if you saw, say, for example, if you saw the show in the work in progress stage, it is significantly different. And over the 2 months I'm not touring now, I'm going to rewrite the whole political bit because, let's be honest, this Labour government are lobbing up half follies every fucking minute. So so do get your tickets. Constantine, the fuck you.
The fuck you right now. It's very topical. Probably not that funny because I am actually genuinely angry about it. We have not had water, running water for the last 2.5 days here in Tunbridge Wells where I live. And they've been, the Southeast Water have been absolutely fucking useless. It's kind of, it's like someone who's running late for work. I'll be there in 15 minutes every 15 minutes for an hour. So still currently no water. And yeah, my wife and I aren't going near each other because the smell is unbearable.
Well, it's like, it sounds like, you know, one of those Ubers that says it's close by, but then you just see it doing 3-point turns in a nearby road. That is shocking. I mean, I also just realized you literally are now angry from Tunbridge Wells. You know, the old cliche of
disgusted, disgusted, not angry, disgusted. I'm disgusted.
That's what you, I reckon that's your trajectory, is to become an establishment Tory by the end of it. You'll go through all your different iterations, but I reckon by the time you're 60, you will be disgusted from Tunbridge Wells.
Jeff, we have been friends and very good friends for a long time, but I will not take those sorts of insults from you, mate.
What, being a Tory?
Yeah.
No, the Tories are coming back, mate. Kemi.
I'm happy to be establishment, but Tory, I'm not sure.
Well, the funny thing is people get annoyed about, I call her Kemi, and it's starting to annoy people that I'm using first name terms. So I'm sorry for saying that about Kemi. I would say this about Kemi, is that her name has 5 syllables. So it does make more sense, perhaps, to abbreviate it. But it's also from the same people that will happily go Keir or Rachel. Mm. It was from similar people that felt that the media just saying Boris was the reason that he got elected. And thinking that all the current problems that the government have. It's so funny, like you see online at the moment, and we will jump into the politics in a minute, but these people are saying this was a brilliant budget and the only issues are being created by right-wing rags. You think, what, the right-wing rags that way less people read these days? And also, like, left-wing journalists like Pippa Crerar have been going big on this story. So actually, it's a good point for us to jump into talking about the fallout from the budget.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
All right, so shortly after the budget, Labour seemed pretty pleased. Rachel Reeves sat down. All the papers were waving. Labour MPs were getting ready to go on X and social media and talk about how they'd ended poverty and sadness and other abstract things. And it must be said, you know, the markets didn't move too much. There were people angry about measures within the budget, but it seemed like it avoided the sort of omni-shambles-style budget that we'd seen in the past. But then the OBR, having accidentally leaked the budget just before Rachel Reeves stood up, made an intervention where they basically revealed that Rachel Reeves had not acknowledged much improved fiscal coffers when she stood up and gave her shit on the cornflake speech where she put the fear of God into everybody about income tax, she only spoke about the productivity gap, right? So this is quite unprecedented for the OBR to come and to come out and say this publicly. They sort of put her in a difficult position. But equally, Constantine, one of my many issues with how Labour have handled this is it just worrying that they're that fucking stupid that it never occurred to them the Office for Budget Responsibility might have something to say if they didn't think the UK Chancellor was being a bit irresponsible?
Jeff, can I subvert the entire premise of this and refer to the title of your podcast, which is what most people think, and say that I know this might be a strange thing to say, and I'm open to being wrong on this, but I actually think this is a bit of a non-story, or at least it's a very Westminster bubble story.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big issue with the budget is that you're right, it hasn't caused sort of panic and fiscal crisis, but we are heading towards one. I think the big issue of the budget is they put up taxes, but they also raised benefits significantly. And what that really shows you is even a Labour government is incapable of reining in spending on welfare, which means that according to really serious analysts, you're probably likely to see either a fiscal crisis or the beginnings of one which leads to an early election within the next couple of years. I think that's by far and away the biggest story. We've got the biggest tax, you know, tax as a percentage of GDP is bigger than ever in peacetime, 38%. I think it was an atrocious budget, and it just shows that we're not getting back on track. This story, to me, is all Westminster chat. And I get the Tories are excited because they think they can get Rachel Reeves out. But yes, I'm sorry to subvert the premise.
Well, no. So what your issues with the budget, I did a breaking news episode last Thursday, which was kind of very similar to what you said. And, and it is a budget that appears to give more money to people that don't work and take money from people that do work. I mean, the simple optics of saying, you know, what, you're saving money, are you? What, trying to build up a pension? Well, fuck you, okay? That's not the kind of people we want, all right? I mean, just the optics are, yeah, I pretty much agree, actually, that for the general public, that there are technicalities to this story which would typically put it into the realms of boring or too much detail. It's not as clear cut as a bloke wearing free glasses from a millionaire, right? Or partying when you said people shouldn't have close social contact. I think maybe part of the reason that this is a story is because journalists have been lied to their face, right? Repeatedly. And you know, to a degree, Number 10 and the Treasury have pissed on journalists' shoulders and told them that it's raining, right? Mm. But I suppose if you take it back to a wider issue, is the fact that the Labour government kind of rode in on a very moral, mighty, high horse, talking about, you know, probity and, you know, a politics that treads more lightly in your life. Lawbreakers can't be lord makers. And by the way, Tulip Sadiq has just been the anti-corruption minister, has just been found guilty of corruption.
In Bangladesh, not here.
So it sort of adds to a list of things which goes against what their brand was going into government. But like I say, I think it worries me how stupid they were to think that the OBR wouldn't make this point. But if you just bring it down to like, quite a simple issue is that the government pushed out inaccurate or at best manipulative versions of the state of the UK economy. And that's financially sensitive information, right? People make decisions based on that. They might fix their mortgage. They might make certain investments or not make investments. So the way they're prevaricating on this, if we take it to a sporting metaphor, this isn't VAR. Like, this isn't like, oh, let's look at whether or not that would have gone on to hit the stumps. This feels like this is quite clearly, at the very least, shady, deceptive, manipulative conduct.
Well, politicians behaving like that, Jeff, never.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting, actually. They've also become quite haughty and quite cocky in a lot of interviews. On Times Radio, Rachel Reeves, sort of, when she was asked a question about increased spending on welfare, she said, well, the thing is, I just want to say that I've kept my job and people who wrote my obituaries might have done so too soon. I thought, do you realise how that sounds? Like, there's people that might lose their jobs and you're crowing about keeping your job. But then when she appeared on Trevor Phillips, she kind of got ambushed. And also there was about a 12-second bit where she just, her brain completely froze up and she didn't know what to say at all.
That what you thought you were going to be able to do turned out not to be the case.
I think that is true, but for reasons on this, not in my control.
How have you found their communications then? Because, like, you know, there's a lot of them saying, I'm not going to apologize for, I'll take no lectures from, we want everybody to make a contribution. How do you feel about them continually using the word contribution, even though you'll be put in prison if you don't honor that contribution?
Well, it's not just that. I just think across the board, it's weird because I don't know if you've noticed this as a more general thing, how quickly they've changed what they're saying. So if you look at Shabana Mahmood, for example, she's like to the right of Enoch Powell at this point, right? With Labour having spent the last God knows how many years basically saying anyone has any issues with immigration is a massive racist. They are now saying and claiming to do the very things that they'd been demonizing this entire time. So what it really shows me is that they are deeply, deeply dishonest people. I mean, you could do the same line I did to you about politicians back to me, who don't seem to have a huge amount of principles, and they're just floating about until they get put out of their misery. And in the meantime, they say all this random stuff that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I think your point about stupidity is true, and I think also they're just incredibly, incredibly incompetent. That was the one thing that you thought the sort of Starmer-led government would give you, a sort of bland, boring, gray,
technocratic,
mediocre council leader level competence, right? And we haven't even got that.
I mean, Starmer, you talk about the shifting missions. I think that's a really good point because, you know, Starmer, stood up today, earlier today as we record this, and sort of spoke about his mission to improve life for people on welfare. Now, let's just be honest. If they'd have said, look, we're going to raise benefits because we think morally that's the right thing to do, and we're going to increase fiscal headroom because we think that's the responsible thing to do, that is all. Everyone could take issue with that, but that's honest. It's the amount of information they've left out. But also for Starmer, it's not that long ago that he suspended his own MPs for voting against maintaining the two-child cap. And he's got this fucking like 360 constant swivel head of his own positions. I don't think people can keep up anymore. I mean, if you think like Starmer himself went from trying to get the most left-wing prime minister in history elected, which would have been Jeremy Corbyn, to spending quite a while essentially trolling the left of his own party, to suddenly acting like Nye Bevan shitting out benefits left, right and centre. It just doesn't stand for anything at this point.
Well, right. And the reason is that he is effectively held hostage by the left of his party, and the party we'll probably go on to talk about, the Greens and the Your Party lot, right? He has to sort of fend them off and appease them by continuing this completely unsustainable spending on welfare in order to not cause more of his MPs to leave, not to cause more losses on the left side of the Labour Party. But the reality is he can only do this for a couple more years, if that, before the facts of the matter come to the fore and you find out that we simply cannot afford to keep doing this. Mm. And at that point, that's when things get really interesting, but also, unfortunately, very, very difficult for a lot of people because you're going to be in sort of, I was going to say IMF bailout, but we're too big now to be bailed out by the IMF. So the economy's too big.
Who do we get bailed out by? Is it the Galactic Empire?
That's pretty much who would have to come in. You know, a bunch of aliens would have to come in and back Britain, which is unlikely. So my point is that because they are not able to cut the welfare bill, which they've tried to do, but they can't, they are storing up problems down the line. And so this budget, in my view, is probably going to be the beginning of the end, as we will see over the next couple of years that this is where they had an opportunity to change things and didn't.
Because I think that the idea that they're backbenchers, now they've become the tail that wags the dog, is that they're suddenly going to just go back to being the tail that is the tail. I think it's for the birds. A lot of them know that they've only got 5 years, so they just basically want to do loads of left wing stuff. But that's their prerogative. I think Starmer should have straight away with the welfare cuts, should straight away have made it a confidence issue. He should have just got balls out. Look, fuck you lot. I'm the prime minister, and if you want to vote against me, we'll have a fucking election. Which immediately sounds like the least Keir Starmer thing ever. So we end up with this fudge. It's interesting as well that Rachel Reeves, along with her haughtiness and boasting about keeping her job and like knocking back her critics, is that she appeared on Laura Koonsberg's show and sort of had a pop at Kemi Badenoch, for attacking her personally, which I thought was a really unwise thing to do, because again, it sounds a bit like moaning. It's like the mansplaining thing. But she sort of criticized the personal attacks. And then it was pointed out that she'd attacked Zach Polanski, not unreasonably, for his historical claim that he could increase the size of women's tits with his mind, which is fucking bizarre. And then, you know, previously the amount of stuff they said about Liz Truss, you know, publicly being compared to a lettuce. And I think that maybe Kemming Badenoch has had her best week for just basically articulating some of the simple hypocrisies. As she said about Labour, you know, when it comes to criticism, they can dish it out, but they can't take it.
But I mean, this sort of hypocrisy is very common. This will age me, although I imagine most of your audience are my age or older. I remember when Alistair Campbell came out and said, you know, the media coverage of the government had become too personal and deeply unhelpful. This is Alistair Campbell, who was, of course, one of the journalists that used to do that. They all do it. I mean, Labour were deeply personal about a lot of Tories. The Tories are going to be deeply personal about it. This is how it's when you start like blaming the referee for everything. That's when I think you've lost the plot, you've lost your head, and you lost the game. And that's why you're starting to see with them.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect to your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, we're going to do a little bit on your party now. First up, the main thing I do, treat yourself. Just if you've got a social media, I mean, X is the best platform to do this on, is just have a look at your party video clips. I could have picked from any number. So your party, this is the Jeremy Corbyn, Zara Sultana-led political, well, it's not led by them anyway, but we'll come to that. They had their conference and there was all sorts of mad lefty stuff being spouted from the stage. And here's a quick example.
Hi there, conference. My name is Erin from Glasgow. When this party started, it included two MPs who were openly transphobic, one of whom was a landlord. This party preaches unity and equality for its working class members.
I'm sorry, I need to stop you there for calling them transphobic from the rostrum. Can you please stick to the motion?
I mean, so first up, everyone said that their name was Your Party. And they pushed back on this quite aggressively. And then at the conference, they decided to be called Your Party. Conference as well, they tried to have a sole leadership, Jeremy Corbyn, and they've gone for some sort of community style leadership. Corbyn at this conference was accused by, because obviously to a lot of these people in this movement, he's an establishment figure. So he had a lot of people accusing him of being pro-Zionist, which is one of the best things I've ever seen, is that he's paid for by the Jewish lobby. I suppose, you know, looking at how comical a lot of this was, literally, like, I mean, most of them were like Rick from The Young Ones. It really was on that level. They kept having to cut the mic for people speaking on stage as well. I just wonder if there was one bright spark for Labour this week. Is it that they were made to look professional in a relative sense by this lot? Like a timely reminder of what the left could be.
Yeah, I don't know. But is it your impression that the sort of radical left is really that concerned about like things being businesslike and well-organized and in order? Because that, you know, I've gone to document Extinction Rebellion protests. I'm well familiar with what happens to them. They're not usually very well-organized. But I think, you know, I wouldn't actually, your party shambles thing may be interesting, but I wouldn't discount someone like Polanski, who I think is very talented. I think he's wrong about everything, obviously, but I think he's very talented as a attention getter, at the very least. And yeah, if you can sort my wife out with bigger boobs, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah, why did you stop doing that, Zach? Really? If
you
want
to, you know, this is a little interesting tidbit. Well, I don't know if it's interesting. It's interesting for me. I actually studied hypnotherapy when I was younger, and I've met a lot of people like Zach Polanski who would claim things like, "Oh, I can help people change their eye color through hypnosis and all of this sort of thing," and they're all deluded, of course, and massive egomaniacs.
Well, there was a video that went round of them before the budget, and it was him with some other activists, and they were singing, they were doing this chant, and it went, hey, Rachel Reeves, I want to know if you'll tax the rich. And I just thought, there's one thing about the left and chants, they cannot do fucking chants. They just, there's something about, because they haven't been to football. That's what I think. They haven't been around enough working class males. So I was just wondering, if the left were really serious about activism, they should actually go to Millwall and create contacts with some hooligans and just bring them in. You know, like sometimes people, ad agencies bring in comedy writers. I think that they should bring in some sort of right-wing thugs.
Yeah, I do too, but not for the reason that you want them to. I just want to see the encounter between Millwall and the modern left. You know, I would enjoy watching that from a safe distance.
So there's a video that you've done, Constantine, through trigonometry, and it's about, as we mentioned, the proposal of, well, I say it's a proposal, it seems like it's already just sort of been signed off without going to a review or anything or an impact assessment, and it's to house undocumented migrants at an army barracks in Crowborough, was it, you said?
Yeah.
Crowborough. And so what you did was you went down there and you spoke to people that were protesting, you found out what the fears are. And, you know, like what's being done on a local level to push back on this. I suppose the first thing that struck me that was interesting is that obviously the idea of migrants being, or asylum seekers, or being, they're not migrants, are they? That's the wrong word. No, being housed in hotels was deeply problematic, because just from an optics level, the word hotel sounds like something fun and luxurious. So the answer was, well, we'll stick them in army barracks. Now, to a lot of the public that don't have an army barracks near them, that felt like a bit of a silver bullet. That felt like an acceptable solution. But I suppose what's interesting about your video is a reminder that those barracks are also in places, and also people have fears. If you could just characterize the fears of the people that you spoke to.
Well, before I do, Jeff, just a very quick note on this whole. So I don't know if you remember the chronology of this, but Shabana Mahmood announced a couple of weeks ago that we're closing down the asylum hotels. And you think, all right, well, cool, that's nice. And then you read the small print is they're not going to remove the people from the country, which is what you'd think they'd be doing. They're putting them onto military camps, military barracks, etc. And then you think, okay, well, military camp sounds safe, sounds secure. You know, it's a sort of facility that can maintain order and safety, etc. No, they're basically putting them in this camp, and then they're allowed to walk about through the local town. They get money to take the bus anywhere, etc. But what's happening in Crowborough specifically, and there's other sites around the country where the government is attempting to do this, like in Inverness as well, is they've based Crowborough is a town of 20,000 people in East Sussex. Very small police station there is unmanned. That's the sort of town that it is. Very, you know, a lot of your audience, I imagine, will live somewhere like that. And there's this military camp that was used to train cadets mostly at the moment. So they intend to put 600 illegal immigrants, people who've come into this country illegally, there, all men. And like I said, they're allowed to leave. And if they do leave and don't come back, guess what happens, Jeff? The government gives them a call and says, would you like to come back to the camp? And if they don't say yes, the government assumes that they've, quote, made alternative arrangements for their.
So is that a bit like, you know, when you go on BBC iPlayer and it says, do you have a TV license? And you say yes, and they go, fine.
Yeah, basically.
No way of getting around that system. There were some really interesting things there. The first thing that strikes me is the people that are protesting is even the most kind of like straw man-y type, you know, left-wing activist. I don't think you could put any charges of racism or unpleasantness on any of the people that you spoke to. There are, I guess, some right-wing protests where you could find people that would say things that would make you think that they had unpleasant motives at heart. These were really erudite, reasonable people. And the stats that came up, that one of them that shocked me was about the absconsion rate, about the amount of people that just disappears. So what was that as a percentage?
I think the counselor that I spoke to, Andrew, he said it was 10%. So right. If you have a camp of 600 people, you're expecting 60 people to abscond. Think about this, right? This is someone who's entered the country illegally. Then they've left the military base where they're being housed illegally. Are you at that point thinking, you know, this is a good faith actor who's likely to be a law-abiding person? You're probably not, right? So if you've got 60 people walking about that, you know, by the very nature of their actions to date are quite suspect, that is a quite clear menace to the local community, and not only to the people there, but like I said, it's almost like something out of a parody. There is a bus stop literally outside the camp that you can get a bus to Brighton and get a bus to Tunbridge Wells, where I live. You're bang in the middle of two fairly large towns where there's... And the other thing about Crowborough is there's no infrastructure for anything, really. There's some supermarkets, a couple of barber shops, and the local type of stuff. So there's literally nothing for people to do once they've left the camp, except to cause mischief. Just overall, it just seems to me like we've reached a critical point. And it's interesting because I do think, I mean, I mentioned Shabana Mahmood jokingly being to the right. I just think the entire country is now, other than the Your Party and Zach Polanski left, everyone at this point is like, I think we've got a problem here and this doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, I think that's what Shabana Mahmood was correct about, is not fixing it. Actually, she's looking at it in a more sort of rounded way, is not fixing these things will create more racism and hostility.
What most people think.
I mean, just sort of like sort of say, not playing devil's advocate, but putting the other side, is that the fears here are founded on that these people will do bad things, crimes of various kinds, which I guess some people might find problematic. But that's the issue when somebody's undocumented, I guess, is we don't know what their past is. So we don't know. If you've got a terrible...
Well, I would go further, though, Jeff. I think this is important to say. I don't think we don't know what their past is. I think because they are undocumented, that tells you something. If you get on a boat in France and throw your passport in the sea, at the very, 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 very least, we know that we would not have allowed you in through the formal asylum process. If you turn up at the British Embassy in Paris with your Afghan or Sudanese passport and make an application, we know that these people think we wouldn't let them in. Now, why is that? That's probably because they're not, most of them, entitled to asylum in our country. Now, why is that? It's probably partly because they don't meet the criteria, but partly is because some of them have a criminal or terrorist background, which they do. And you see this in the statistics. The government is very good at covering this up and avoiding collecting the stats. But unfortunately, people who come from certain parts of the world are far, far more likely, many times more likely, to commit certain crimes, sexual assault, rape, etc. And you're seeing this, obviously, anecdotally as well. You know, in Brighton, there's just been a case where three men have been charged with raping a woman on Brighton Beach. All of them were confirmed by the Home Office to be asylum seekers from the Middle East, which is exactly the profile of the people who are going to be put in this camp. So I think we have to be honest here. I understand your desire to put the opposite side, and I think it's important to interrogate the claims that people sometimes make about this. But I would just say that the act of coming to our country illegally is, to me, in and of itself, an indicator at a population level. I'm not talking about each individual, but at a population level, that this is a group of people who are more likely to be a problem for the reasons that I just explained.
So I think you make a very good point there. So the next question people would ask, and the next question I thought of, is, well, what percentage of people have essentially arrived either without documentation or thrown it away? And it's quite hard to find that number, But some places, Migration Watch put it at like 98%. Now, I don't know if that's officially sanctioned number, but that in itself is extremely worrying. Here's a question there, right? So you go like, even if they were to come up with some sort of deterrent or to reduce the numbers, we do have undocumented migrants in this country. So if you go, well, they can't be in hotels. And if the places where the army barracks are, reject them too, what is the answer in the short term then?
Oh, the answer is to deport the ones that are not eligible for asylum as quickly as possible. And we should be moving way faster. And you see this in America. Now, there is an unpleasant side to the way that the Trump administration is doing it, which is, I think, unnecessary. But given that in this country, we don't have the same problem that they do in the US, where a lot of these people just disappear into the country. America's a big country. And we don't know where they are. We do know most of these people. We do know where they are. And what we should be doing, rather than holding them for months and months and months, what we should be doing is changing the law in such a way that we can get them out, which is what we should be doing. They have no right to be here.
Do you think that Shabnam Mahmood is actually going to get somewhere on this? Because she made interventions recently and they were broadly received quite positively on the right. Do you think she's serious about it?
I actually do think she is serious, and I do think she may go some way towards fixing it, yes. But I think what you will find is the general public is so fed up of this issue already that I don't think the small steps that she is likely to implement will appease the people who are concerned about that issue. And so I think this issue will run and run, even if she's able to make incremental progress. Because, you know, we've got, according to some estimates, nearly 1 million illegal immigrants in the country. Well, you think about this, right? When I came to Britain in 1996, about 55,000 people a year were coming into this country net legally. That is now the number of people that come into this country every year illegally. So in order just to deal with that, you'd have to be deporting tens of thousands of people every year. Then you add on top of the fact that you've got a backlog and you've got nearly 1 million people already here, according to some estimates, you're going to have to be deporting 100,000 people a year, right? So she's not going to be doing that. So even the incremental differences that she's going to make, I just don't think they're going to be remotely enough to appease the concerns of the people, which are now, as we've discussed, they're not sort of contained to a fringe of the right. This is now, I was talking to a Lib Dem MP the other day who said, yeah, illegal immigration is a massive issue.
Jesus Christ, if the Lib Dems are saying that.
We've just got to a point, I think every sensible person in the country just thinks we've gone in a crazy direction. We've been going in it for far too long and we've gone way too far.
What most people think.
Okay, now in the Patreon only, myself and Constantine are good. This is honestly, I know people say like priceless, you couldn't make it up, but this is a story about yet another arrest by the UK police, which is, well, priceless, and you couldn't make it up. Constantine Kissin, thank you very much for making the time to come back, even if I had the time wrong originally. Thank you for not berating me through that, because I phoned you before.
I thought you were going to berate me, and I take punctuality very seriously.
No, I could, you know, loads of old-fashioned things, punctuality, you know, rewarding people to work. All that stuff's way out of fashion, Grandad. Obviously, people should go and watch the full video of what we discussed about what's happening in Crowborough. Trigonometry continues to go from strength to strength. Is there anything else you do? Have you got another book out? Because obviously, your first book did very well.
To be honest, mate, Substack has been such a godsend in terms of writing that I am just far more interested in writing on there. It's worked out really well for me. So if people want to follow my writing, ConstantineKissin.com is where it's all at. And of course, Trigonometry, and I'm everywhere on the social media.
Okay, well, listen, it's one of those weeks where I usually say I'll probably be doing a breaking news episode later this week, and I almost certainly will. And it could be, well, at this point, it could be anything, and it could be our new Chancellor, the only Labour politician that's done anything that seemed vaguely proactive. Goodbye, Rachel. Welcome, Shabana.
The It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.